Heavenly Father, I pray that in this moment you would speak and we would hear and respond in faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alan Langham saw a flock of birds as he was sitting in his prison cell and he looked out at the windowsill. The birds flew off, and in that moment he knew God was real. How did this convict become a follower of Jesus? Growing up, he had been abandoned by his father, and his mother truly loved him, but she was a severe disciplinarian. He saw his mother be abused by the men in her life. He was repeatedly beaten up by neighborhood bullies. So, as a young boy, he was angry all the time. He started skipping school. He was good in sports, especially the violent sport of rugby. He constantly got in fights. He ended up being a very tough scrapper who started dealing drugs, and he fought for money. Landing in prison at 17, he became a hardened criminal. Then there was a series of incidents where he would be determined to turn his life around, but as soon as he got out of jail, he would fall back into old habits, fall back into the violent crime he had been in before, be back in jail. His safe place was the prison chapel worship service. He didn't have to be the tough guy there. When he was growing up, church had been his refuge, and now the prison chapel provided the same support. So when he landed back in custody, back in prison one more time, he felt he had hit rock bottom. Through tears, he cried out to God, "If you're real, put a white dove outside my window." The next thing, he looked out, there were the birds, they took off, and he gave his life to Christ. Now his journey from crime to the disciple life and salvation had some setbacks, but the three steps forward outnumbered the two back, and he continued to make progress as a follower of Jesus. He reconciled with family members he had hurt. Now today, he is a Christian author and a chaplain of several sports teams and someone ready at a moment's notice to talk about Jesus. Alan went from violent brawler to passionate Jesus follower. This journey from lost to saved is at the heart of the message in 1 Timothy 1:8 through 17. Paul writes that the law is good. The law of Moses, found in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The law shows us what sin is. The law convicts our hearts of the sins we're committing. Paul lists categories of sin: idolatry, disobedience, different expressions of sexual sin, kidnapping, slave trading, dishonesty. This is a representative list, not an exhaustive one. You can think of categories that he didn't list here. But the list makes two very clear points. First, we don't go to God and tell God our lives aren't sinful. We look at where our lives fail to conform to God's standard and we confess. When it comes to sin, we don't try to justify it. We do not try to reframe our sins so that we can say they aren't sins. We just confess, ask for forgiveness, and turn away from the sin. The second point established by Paul's enumeration of sins is that when we talk about salvation, we've got to talk about sin. We have to take sin seriously. Paul did. In verse 13, he says, "I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence." He's referring to the days before he had that experience on the road into Damascus when he denied that Jesus is the Messiah and Jesus is Lord. He was a blasphemer. He tried to have followers of Jesus arrested. He was a persecutor. And when Stephen, one of the first deacons, was arrested and stoned by an angry mob because of his witness for Christ, Paul was on the sideline applauding, holding the cloaks of the stone throwers. He was a man of violence. For this reason, in verse 15, 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul calls himself the foremost of sinners. That wasn't just exaggeration. He really believed that about himself. He thought he was the worst. Alan Langham, the scrapping rugby player who I mentioned, would have said the same thing about himself. He was not into justifying his sins. He sat in his prison cell and tearfully confessed them. I read his story in the June 2019 issue of Christianity Today magazine, which I recommend to everyone. One of the features in that monthly is the back page where it tells the story of how someone went from a life apart from God to becoming a Jesus follower. Paul went from Pharisee and Christian persecutor to tent maker and apostle. Alan went from criminal tough guy to sports team chaplain and Christian author. I want to share a couple of other stories of people whose lives went from one thing to another. Rosalind Picard is a scientist and professor at MIT. She's always been academically gifted. In high school, she loved science, and her love of science and her quest for knowledge led her to believe that you can't be a scientist and a Christian. Her atheism was connected to her love of learning. There's no way, she thought, that there could be a God. Well, there was this family that she babysat for, and she really respected them because of their intellect. The husband was a doctor, and she thought they were great, and she took care of their child, and then they floored her when they invited her to church. How could such smart people go to church? Well, she wasn't going to do that, so she came up with a series of excuses until they got the point. So they thought they'd try a different strategy with her. They offered her a Bible and said, "Why don't you read this?" Well, she started with Proverbs, and she was amazed by the wisdom she found in the Bible. It surprised her and forced her to think. Now, she did not have a supernatural experience. She didn't hear a voice. She just felt like when she was reading Proverbs and other books in the Bible, but especially in the Proverbs, someone was talking to her. Well, she went off to college. She continued resisting God, resisting church, resisting faith. But when she got to college, she reconnected with a friend from high school. He invited her to church. Another smart person. This guy was so smart, she, who's a straight-A student, needed his help with her physics homework. Why would he go to church? This time she went with him. For many weeks she went, and finally one Sunday in the sermon, she was brought to a point of decision. The pastor challenged the congregation to stop trying to be masters of their own lives and instead let the Lord be the master. She decided to accept that pastor's challenge, and she gave her life to Jesus. She writes, "My world changed dramatically, as if a flat, black-and-white existence suddenly turned full color and three-dimensional. Becoming a disciple of Jesus actually made her more curious as a scientist. She was more inquisitive. She says, 'I once thought I was too smart to believe in God. Now I realize I was an arrogant fool who snubbed the greatest mind in the cosmos, the author of all science, mathematics, art, and everything else there is to know.'" Note the differences in these three salvation stories. Alan, his story is of a rough guy whom God gave a sign, birds on the prison windowsill. The Apostle Paul's conversion came within the context of religion. He thought that he was being a good Jew by persecuting what he believed to be a false Messiah cult, until he met that Messiah, the resurrected Jesus, on the road to Damascus and realized, oh yes, this truly is Israel's Messiah, and this is the Lord of all creation. Alan left behind his life as a brawler and became a chaplain. Paul left behind his life as an up-and-coming Pharisee, a legal scholar, the hot new thing on the legal scene in Jerusalem. He left that behind to make tents for a living and travel around the Mediterranean world talking about Jesus, himself being imprisoned, flogged, beaten for doing so. Rosalind Picard did not leave anything behind except her skepticism. Before she turned to Jesus, she was a brilliant scientist.
after she gave her life to Christ, she was still a brilliant scientist. The point is, every story of conversion to Christ is unique. Your story doesn't have to be more or less dramatic than someone else's. It's your story. What every story needs is that moment when we make faith in Jesus our own, not our parents, not our friends. You don't become a follower of Jesus to please your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. You don't become a Christian to make a Sunday school teacher or your grandma or your pastor happy. We turn to faith because we realize we're sinners and we're lost. Lost without Jesus leading our lives. His death on the cross and His resurrection are what each one of us needs, no matter what life we live. Casey Diaz, he was a high-level gang member in Los Angeles. Within the gang's system, and there is an unwritten system within some of the gangs, within this gang's system, he had the authority to order hits on people. And he did, and when he gave the order, it was carried out. That landed him in solitary confinement. No contact with anyone, but a prison chaplain happened by his cell and said, "I'm going to pray for you and God's going to use you." All he could do was see the chaplain's legs through the slit in the door where they would put the food. Well, he said through that slit, "You've got the wrong person." And the chaplain said, "God loves you too." Later on in solitary confinement, he didn't have a Bible, he didn't have a counselor, he didn't have a witness telling him the story of the gospel. God gave him a vision. And this gang member murderer in solitary confinement turned his life around. Today, he owns a sign-making company in Los Angeles and is a part-time pastor. Kim Cash Tate is a lawyer from D.C. who landed a really good job clerking for a federal judge in Madison, Wisconsin. She didn't grow up in church, but her mother raised her with some Christian values, which she remembered when she became a young adult and had pretty much turned away from those values. She didn't grow up going to church, but she spent time in a Christian school, so she had some context for the Christian life as she started her new life in Madison, Wisconsin. She hated living there. An African American, she felt very disconnected from black culture. All she saw around her were white people, and she didn't mind the white people, but she wanted that connection with her culture. She wanted to get back to D.C. She also felt like there was something going on inside her. She was looking for something. She couldn't say what it was, but it was God. She needed God. She and her boyfriend decided living together outside of marriage was wrong, so they got married. It's the first time in her life she ever made any kind of decision thinking about what God wanted for her. Then she went out of town for a trip, and her husband found a new church. When she came back in town, she went with him. And there, for the first time, she heard the gospel. She writes, "I heard the true gospel preached, and it rocked me. Finally, I saw myself as God saw me, a sinner in need of redemption. I asked God to forgive me, and I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. For all my prayers that God would save me from Madison, Wisconsin, it was His plan all along to save me in Madison, Wisconsin." A brawler, a Pharisee, a scientist, a gang member, and a black lawyer living in a town of mostly white people. Each is the story of someone coming to faith and new life in Jesus. In some instances, there's supernatural intervention. Others, it's an invitation to come to church and read the Bible. In another story, it's a recollection of values learned in childhood. Each is a story of salvation. What concerns me this morning is your story of salvation. How would you write it if you were writing the story from this to that? If I'm thinking of my own, it's a story of an 11-year-old who went from living his parents' faith to deciding he had to make a faith of his own. I was 11 and I realized I had to stop just doing what my parents told me and going where they told me to go. They always had me in church, prayed for me, we read the Bible, but I had to claim that for myself. I needed to make the decision to give my life to Jesus. I did that in the summer of 1981, and I've never looked back. If an outsider was looking at my life, they might not be able to notice dramatic changes, but I knew from that moment I lived with a God awareness that has stayed with me. Your conversion might go something like this: from church attendee to born-again follower of Jesus. As the 1980s Christian singer Keith Green put it, going to church makes one a Christian about the same way walking into a McDonald's turns you into a hamburger. You're not a Christian because you show up on Sundays. Paul writes that the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are sure in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, Paul writes, came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. And we realize that salvation, we realize the grace, mercy, and love of God as we confess our sins, as we turn from them and turn to Christ. It's a conscious step each one of us must take. We're among the saved when we actively turn to Jesus and receive the forgiveness and salvation he offers. Until we take that step, we're not among the saved. I invite you, if you know the gospel story but have never turned to Jesus and asked him into your heart, I invite you to do that today. This can be your moment, the moment when you receive new life in Christ. If you've never made the decision to walk with Jesus, I pray that you'll make that decision today. If you have, then tell your story. As Paul did numerous times, as I did in my words this morning, as each one of these authors on the back page of Christianity Today did. You hadn't heard of them before. They're not famous. You need not be famous. Just tell your story. The first step in telling your story is getting baptized. That's what baptism is. It's a testimony. You're put under the water, dead in sin. You come out, I am new life in Christ. Next in our lives, we share with others who we are in Christ. Gospel literally means good news. The gospel is Jesus Christ is Lord. In him we have forgiveness of sins and new life. In him the kingdom of God is drawn near. The personal gospel is your account of how Jesus has become your Savior and Lord. Share your personal gospel with someone today.